Welcome everybody, welcome everyone in Africa to the Afro Creatives Radio, and I'm your host, you mind? Feeling every good vibe about being back in the studio with you again, and I was just laughing a few minutes ago because the guest that I have in studio is quite interesting, and she has an amazing sense of humor, and I guess you guys are going to find out. I hope we bump into a few good jokes along the way and you can meet her in full expression. Her name is Anoziwa Marindire, known to most as Z. So in most of this interview, we will just refer to her as Z. And she is part of a campaign that AUCFA is running, dubbed Africa Educate Her campaign, that is spearheaded by the African Union International Center for Girls and Women's Education in Africa. And she will talk to us a little bit about that, because that's a huge mouthful, but help me welcome her into studio. Welcome to Afro Creators Radio, Z. How are you feeling?
I'm well. I'm doing great.
Thanks so much for being here and taking time out of your very busy schedule. I know a few weeks, months ago, you were traveling and you were on the road, but you made time this time around just to sit with me and have a little chat. Thanks so much. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much for inviting me, or inviting us, to be part of your show. And I hope this will be fun.
I hope so too. And I'm hoping that later on, as we go through this chat, we will be joined by Ife and Afri, who are both champions and ambassadors of the Africa Educator campaign. But really, as we dive into that, I think I'm just going to give Z some time to tell us about this campaign. What is this campaign, and what is it about? Because we're going to jump into more of what you've done, but just introduce this campaign to us. What is the Africa Educate Her campaign?
Okay, so maybe to just give a bit of context and background, the AUCFA is a specialized institution of the African Union, which focuses on girls and women's education. So as I was saying, the AUCFA is a specialized institution of the African Union, based in Burkina Faso, and we are mandated to promote girls and women's education within the 55 AU mm-hmm. member states, and we work mm-hmm. mainly in areas of policy, supporting governments through ministries of education, ministries of gender, etc., to ensure that there's gender equality mm-hmm. within the education system. But on top of working around policy, we also do a lot of mm-hmm. advocacy work, where we engage CSOs, development partners, and obviously yeah. mm-hmm. Africa's pride and wealth, which is the youth. This campaign, like the Africa Educator campaign, is one of the ways that we have been engaging not only governments, but young people within the continent in terms of ensuring that girls and women continue learning and return to school post the COVID-19 related school closures that mm-hmm. happened due to COVID. As you might know, a lot of countries at the peak or height of COVID-19 in 2020 shut mm-hmm. down schools as part of like national measures to ensure that there was uh-huh. control in terms of the spread of COVID. And that meant a lot of girls and boys across the continent could not continue learning because they didn't mm-hmm. have access to digital technologies and internet. You find like children learning maybe within the rural setting, children on the move, children in refugee settlements. They could not continue school. And as we know in terms of history and mm-hmm. evidence from previous pandemics, like Ebola. We know that pandemics like COVID-19 and shutdowns that come with it usually affect girls' education more. We know that due to COVID-19, a lot of girls might not return to school. I think estimates are that 10 million girls might not return to school at the end of COVID.
That's a huge number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this campaign was then created in September 2020 as a way to rally governments, rally development partners to continue supporting girls and women's education, yeah. to continue funding girls and women's education so that we safeguard all the gains that had been made over the past decades, because gains have been made, but they are under threat because of COVID. And then one of the ways that we saw fitting to do that is to include young people, particularly young people within the arts, as voices that amplify that call. We know that Africa's young people are like, there's a bulging population of young people within the continent. I think we are the continent with the largest number of young people. So our young people are really like an asset. And they are an asset also in terms of change. When you want change within nations and within the continent, it's usually easier if you have young people who are working with hand in hand governments and development partners.
we do have a younger population.
So yes, that's the context and background of the campaign.
And Z, I'm aware that you launched a collaborative song on girls' education titled "I'm an African Girl." And the song is a remix of the song "Let Her Know" done by Afri, a songwriter and singer from Uganda. And the remix features Ife from Nigeria and Smarty from Burkina Faso. You know, congratulations on such a big feat. And, you know, I'm aware from just talking with you, even when I met you, one of the things that came across so very strongly from the talk that I had with you when I met you was that education is a human right and a fundamental, you know, a fundamental thing to lasting poverty reduction and building prosperous economies and stable and safe societies for the girl child. How did this project come into, I think, alignment with some of those values that you hold dear as a person? Because I could tell even from the first conversation that I had with you when I met you that you were passionate about girls and you were talking about this specifically, how important it is to see girls championed.
So the song, I'll start with the song. So the song came about as a result of a call. Yeah, as a call that we made in September when we launched the campaign, asking young people to submit creative works that show their experiences or the experiences of young girls within their communities learning during COVID-19. And Afri and Ife were part of the young artists that sent in music because we were looking for music, photos, poetry, and blogs. And so Ife and Afri submitted their songs. And then we really loved Let Her Know. And we also really loved her voice, and we loved Ife and her voice. And we decided, okay, why don't we... Why don't we get these girls to meet and get them to do a song? And then we, as you know, like Africa is quite diverse. So Ife and Afri come from like an English-speaking from English-speaking countries. So we wanted to bring that diversity. And so we reached out to Smarty, who is a hip-hop artist from Burkina Faso, and who does his art in French. For him to be part of the collaboration. And then in June, I think during the time of the Day of the African Child, which is June 16, we invited Afri and Ife to come to Burkina Faso so that they could do the recording of the song, of the remix, and the video for the song. It was so amazing to just see how they, like, the minute that they met, the three of them, because this was the first time that they were meeting. Granted, they'd been talking on WhatsApp, but it was amazing that they were able to get into the studio. And the song was recorded within one day. I think they came a day before June 16th. They came a day before June 16th and... 2 days before June 16th. And then the next day, they were in the studio working to...
record the song.
To record the song. And then on June 16th, because we had an event to celebrate... the Day of the African Child, they actually performed the song and it was amazing. And then the following day, they did the video for the song. So it was amazing to just see that dynamic of how young people, when we have a common vision, and we can achieve so much. And it's been amazing, both the three artists, the way that they've carried not only the song, but the vision of the campaign, within their own nations, in the areas of influence. It's really amazing. And the reception that we've gotten also for the song, I think it's slowly becoming the anthem for girls and women's education, not only in Africa, but across the world, because, you know, girls' education is not necessarily just like an African issue, but it's a development world issue. So, it's nice to see the reception with that. And then in terms of aligning myself personally in terms of girls and women's education, yes, I remember the first time we met. I think it was at a bus stop, huh? I was in Zimbabwe.
Yes. We were jumping into town.
I asked you, like, so what do you do? And then you're like, I do poetry. And I was like, oh, there's this thing that I'm doing. I really would like for you to be a part of it. And what? Yeah, so... Definitely, I think from a very young age, I think issues around justice, especially gender justice, have been close to my heart. I think growing up, I knew it's either I was going to be a lawyer or a journalist. I ended up being a journalist. And then I realized whilst I was in college that I really wasn't necessarily interested in the mainstream element of journalism. I really wanted to use the art of journalism as a way to propel development. And so I specialized in that, like communications for development. And over the years, I got to find like my footing and like find where exactly I'm passionate about, what exactly I'm passionate about. And it turns out I'm really passionate about girls and women's empowerment. And one of the ways that I see that is sustainable in terms of empowering girls is through education. I'll give you a few numbers or a few facts. I think the World Bank says the more years that a girl is in school, her earning power increases. When her earning power increases, that means her health or the family's health, it increases as well. Another fact is that we know from evidence as well that if a community has more girls that are educated, it is more it is more resilient when crisis hits, because, you know, with Africa, mothers or girls and women have the responsibility of taking care of the family. So when you are sick, making sure that the continuation of education, etc. So when we educate girls, literally, I think it's not just about the girls themselves, it's also about the community and the nations. We do ourselves disservice when we don't educate girls.
You know, it's very interesting that you say that, Z. It's so interesting because a few months ago we shared a quote by I think it was Dr. I forgot the guy who we shared a quote from. I will look for it later. But we shared a quote that said, you educate a woman, you educate a nation. And then we put it on social media, but we shared it in our different groups online. And I remember that the response was pretty fierce and aggressive from the guys because they said, who said this? And only to find out that it was one doctor who has actually been renowned in Africa as a person who speaks. He was a philosopher, he was a learned Christian, he was a reverend, he was a teacher, he was so many, he wore so many hats, and he was saying this out of his wisdom. And once we started having this dialogue on this group, the guys then started weighing in later when they found that it was a quote by a guy, because at first we just said unknown, and then we found out who'd said the statement. And once the statement was verified that it was said by a man, the fires around the room started going down. But the guys had taken so much offense at just having that said about a woman. And I love what Ngozi Adichie says. And I love this, and I'm just going to say it and read it to you because I love it. She says, we teach girls to aspire to marriage, but we don't teach our boys the same. Statistics on marriage that have happened during the pandemic have been devastating. How have artists working with AU and NCFA addressed such issues with this campaign, since the idea is to get girls back into school? Is there inclusion for those who are now mothers from the different nations involved? And you know, I tend to ask so many open-ended questions. and what good results or feedback have you gotten so far from this campaign from last year when you started it with this vision to get as many girls in school as possible?
Yeah, so I think the questions that you ask in terms of inclusion and who's what is being done in terms of ensuring there's inclusion even for girls that quote-unquote might not necessarily in our normal culture of societies be expected to be in school anymore. I think one of the evidences that is coming up in terms of impacts of COVID-19, although we don't have like concrete data as yet, because the pandemic is still ongoing, is that there has been a lot of girls that have been forced into early marriages, that have early marriages or child marriages, and then there's a lot of girls that have fallen pregnant. Case in point, Zimbabwe. I think it was one minister, if it is not the minister of gender, she reported in a session in parliament where she reported that at least 4,000 girls had fallen pregnant within a period of a few months of the beginning of the year 2021. And it's not only Zimbabwe, you have evidences like that coming out from Ethiopia, Uganda, and it's not only child marriage and pregnancy, it's also gender-based violence, female genital mutilation, things like that that are socially and culturally related but have an adverse impact or a negative impact on girls' access to education. So one of the things that we have done at the AUCFA is last year we published a compendium on international and regional legal instruments on girls and women's education, which gives a list of the legal instruments that AU member states, all 55 AU member states, have signed and agreed in terms of girls and women's education. So some of the countries, we also go further to show which countries have adopted and ratified what they signed, and which countries have not. Our hope is that as young activists and artists and lawyers on human rights, etc., they get hold of this compendium, and they use it as a way to bring to make their governments accountable. In terms of the things that they promised within a within the continental framework and within the international framework to say, but you said that no girl, whether pregnant or not, should be refused education at this age or at this level. You know, or that it is illegal for a man to marry a girl you signed, and making them accountable. One of the other ways also that we have been working with young people and young artists is through our youth program. We have a youth program called the Youth Capacity Building, YCB. Where we have an alumni of 200 young people from across the 55 states, and they've been implementing arts-related projects within their local communities at grassroots level, engaging their communities, engaging traditional and religious leaders to change or shift mindsets when it comes to girls. That just because schools are closed doesn't mean that it's time for her to get married. You know, if you educated, the money you're looking for now from this man that will marry her, you can get even more once she's married. And also making sure that there are real images or constant images of role models that are put in front, not only of the girls themselves, not only of women, but also in front of men, so that they understand that, you know, they are better. It's a better investment to invest in education than to invest in them getting married at
marriage.
Age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and know, then I found
I find
this very interesting because taking you back to that quote, I found who said that quote. It was Dr. Kwegye Agre from Ghana. And he was a philosopher, and the quote was, if you educate a man, you educate one person, but if you educate a woman, you educate a whole nation. And the premise around that was just how much of an investment it is, like what you're saying. And it's beautiful, the work that you've been doing, but has this work increased sensitization on girls' rights to education across communities, especially with our own local community leaders? Are they actively working to safeguard this right for the girls? How has this been able to impact, especially in the different nations that you've been really going around as you try to measure impact? Because you spoke about some of the work that you are doing, these documents, the legislation you've put in place, but has it actually sensitized people? And where can people access this, especially for the average person like me? I wouldn't know it if I hadn't talked to you. How else can the next person be able to access this?
Okay. So yes, we've seen over the past, I would say over the past year, great responses from different governments within within the AU member states. I think probably within the context of COVID and in terms of ensuring that girls return to school, we've seen, in particular Zimbabwe, I think the bill on education, the amendment amendment bill was passed, I think just prior to us actually launching the campaign officially. Malawi also, I think, also put in a bill that ensures that it's a bill or a policy that ensures that girls continue learning even in spite of pregnancy. Also, in terms of sensitizing teachers, I think in terms of sensitizing teachers, a lot of governments are working really hard in ensuring that teachers per se are gender sensitive within the classrooms and the schools themselves. Because sometimes, as you know, it's not necessarily an issue that the policy is not there or the law is not there. It is it is that the social and cultural laws that exist, you know, they restrict. So the government might say all girls have access to education despite them being pregnant or despite them being mothers or despite them being mm-hmm. married. But if you go to a rural school somewhere where the culture is still very traditional, you find that girls still don't access education. So there's been a lot of work in ensuring that teachers and schools are trained in terms of gender sensitive education and creating gender sensitive environments within the context of COVID-19. And also just ensuring that there are tools that are accessible to girls within rural communities or disadvantaged communities where internet is not easily accessible. I think governments all across Africa quickly moved to radio and television as a way of ensuring that communities that didn't have access to internet continue learning. So you had a lot of classes that were happening online that girls could access. And then I think also one of the other things that probably I would really want to talk about is the change that is happening within traditional and religious leaders within the African space. Is, you know, when we hear the stories, because sometimes media we focus on the news, what makes news, which is, you know, when our societies or cultures are doing something that is deviant, right? But there are cultural leaders and religious leaders in top leadership within those communities that are coming together and working towards ending or ensuring that girls continue learning, like COTLA, the Council of Traditional and Religious Traditional Leaders in Africa. It's called COTLA. They've been working really hard during this season in sensitizing their communities and ensuring girls return to school. There is a chief in Malawi or Zambia, I'm not sure because I don't have the paper here, but that chief, she's been very instrumental in ensuring that girls continue learning, even going as further as going into a pocket or to ensure that a girl continues school if the parents are not able to. But also going further into when she hears that a girl has been married off and she's young, she will go and she will take that girl and she will put them, sort of like adopt that girl, and she becomes part of her family and she continues with education. So we are seeing a change in mindsets in terms of some of the groups or communities that were at some point the instigators who are now becoming the champions.
Oh, that's marvelous to hear. And it's such a turnaround for us, especially for our communities. Z, as we close off, I am keen to know, how can communities, thought leaders, and people who are listening to this episode be able to support and join this initiative? Is there a place that we can join you online? Is there a call to action for us? And where can the song be found? Is it downloadable so that our children can start listening to it and be able to connect and engage with this campaign?
So we have an open call for governments. We have an open call for CSOs, that's civil society organizations. It can be youth-led civil society organizations who want to join the campaign and take a pledge to ensure that girls come back to school or continue learning, and youth on our platform. They can go to www.cifa, which is sifa.org/Africa Educator. There they will find the form where they just fill in, it's a very short form, they will fill in some of the activities that they've been doing around their communities in terms of ensuring girls return to school. And then we are asking them to take a pledge to say, okay, so you're doing this work, what pledge can you make to make sure that girls within your communities return to school? For the song, we have a YouTube channel, which is Africa Union, CFA. That's where the song is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, yeah. Z. Thank you for coming through to talk about this weighty work that you are doing and the collaborative effort of Ife Afri and Smart in Absentia, and I'm hoping that we can be able to get a quote or a word in from them soon to just get our viewers and our listeners and our audience just, you know, a sneak peek into the video. It would be really lovely if we can even get a snippet of the video to share on our social media platforms or even on our website. Definitely. So people can be able to just engage with that. I watch the video and the energy is young, it's vibrant, it's power, you know, and that's what we need, especially for a continent that has such young leaders rising up in such a time as this. So it would be brilliant to see what we can explore.
Yeah, and maybe just to end and make an invitation, I think, for young mm-hmm. artists within the continent, young people. We are hoping that we can have a second concert of the Africa Educator campaign in December of mm-hmm. 2020. We had an online concert where mm-hmm. we featured all the artists that had submitted songs. And we are hoping we can have another one next year mm-hmm. as a way to wind down the campaign as mm-hmm. schools have already started reopening. And hopefully we will, through this channel, begin to receive more mm-hmm. content, more music, more poems and vlogs that we can feature onto the campaign, and just mm-hmm. give young people a voice, mm-hmm. give us a voice, you know, like so that we can share the ideas and the recommendations that we have through a way or a form that other young people can understand. I think art is such a beautiful form in whatever form it comes, music, art, painting, mm-hmm. you know, however it comes, it's beautiful, and young people respond to it, older people mm-hmm. respond to it, governments respond to it, in such a powerful way of sharing messages, and I hope more and more young people begin to use their art form to do just mm-hmm. that.
Thanks so much, Z. This is the Afro Creative Radio, and I am your host, Jumind. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Afro Creatives Radio, and you know, we're talking about creative arts in girls' education and this amazing campaign that AUNCFA came up with to make sure that the girls would go back to school and be taken back to school regardless of what COVID-19 had brought to their doorpost and what challenges they'd faced in 2020 to 2021. And it's been amazing. Go check out this beautiful song by Ife Afri and Smarty on YouTube. We will share all the different login details, different social media handles, different platforms and website links for you guys to go and click. If you have not listened to our other episodes, please double back and listen to the different episodes that we've been having on this podcast as we travel across Africa. Remember, it is still the Afro Creatives Radio, your traveling podcast that goes to every home virtually. I'm your host, Jumind. Until next time, goodbye.